Welcome back to Hour 2 of the Hollywood Casino Press Box, featuring Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
To bring some loving here today, yeah. Father, Father.
Rankin Jordan, one of our great sponsors. Go to RankinJordan.org. Find out how you can volunteer as the hospital explodes and gets to 60 beds. There are 34 beds now. RankinJordan.org. They do some incredible things in the St. Louis area. They make miracles happen. They sponsor part of the program. Joining us now, Martin Kilcoyne, broadcasting live from the world headquarters as we celebrate Backstoppers Day.
Frank, I was listening to your interview with Jim Bowden, and I will tell you, anytime you book a guest, and you know this, you want somebody on who's going to say something. They're not necessarily going to pander. They're going to say something interesting. And I thought he made a really legitimate case.
Yeah.
Now, it's just one guy, former executive, media member now, but a pretty legitimate case that we should let go of the Stanton dream. I mean, it was compelling, the argument. And I actually went back and looked at the Bowden career. And, I mean, I knew he was the Reds general manager, but he's always been bold. He fired Tony Perez, and then Jeff Shaw, who was their closer, who was a Cincinnati native, traded him to the Dodgers, and Shaw said, we had a handshake deal that he wouldn't trade me, and he did it anyway. So I think he has a history of being bold. But anyway, I think what he said made a lot of sense, and I'm with you on the Dodgers. I'm like, well, at some point they can't afford everybody.
Yeah,
but the fact that Seager and Bellinger and a lot of those young guys
got some cheap ones
aren't making any money is
and
a good point.
And I guess some of those ridiculous contracts are about to come off the books, like Ethier.
I think he's a Dodger for life, right?
Carl Crawford. Doesn't he have to come off the books someday?
Adrian Gonzalez is still vacationing and billing the Dodgers.
Poor Nick. Yeah.
But at some point, that Stanton deal in year 6, 7, 8, Bellinger, Seager are going to be making crazy money. So it may not be an issue the next couple of years, but 5, 6 years down the road, it could be really expensive.
And then he brought up the point that you pay a price for those ridiculous contracts. And, you know, I don't completely agree, but Brian Hoffman has a great theory about, hey, if you're going to win, you're going to have some of those insane contracts at the end of these deals. It's just a fact of life. You just can't have all these perfect deals of guys in their prime making their big money, and then when they're not in their primes, they're off the books. You're just going to have those. So that's why, I mean, the Stanton thing, I would take the shot for sure.
All right, here's my question for the B-Fibs, right? The best fans in baseball who right now would go to Hallmark and buy Stanton that card and send it to him, personal greetings. We had the big birthday shout-out last week. Let's say he does end up with the Dodgers, and the Cardinals are fairly candid about it, saying, listen, we were right there in terms of money, in terms of prospects. He just didn't want to come here. And now he comes to St. Louis as a member of the Dodgers. Do you think he gets booed off the field?
Oh, he'll get booed off, yes.
If it's well known that he did not want to come here.
Yeah, and it's going to have to be. Because if I'm John Mozeliak, I make sure that the entire St. Louis area knows that we agreed to pick up $295 million. We agreed to give up some players. He just didn't want us. Wouldn't you if you're the GM?
Oh,
especially a GM whose popularity level is not great right now?
Yeah, you have a fan base who's expecting, almost demanding that you get a player of that caliber, and then you come up short. I think you have to be as you can't burn future relationships because you might have trades to make in the future with that team. But I think you would do your best to get it out there. You might even leak. Here's what we offered, folks.
Yeah,
we were serious.
Leak it to the press box.
Yeah, he could say, candidly, Frank, we offered El Contra and Reyes, and they still turned it down.
Yeah, because they did get that out there about Albert at the end, even though they insulted him with that 5-year deal in the beginning, and then they countered with Beltran right away after that. So
anything after Stanton feels like a consolation prize,
well,
but they could still be dramatically different. I'm just saying in terms of perception, I think the fans are like, oh, no, Red Sox got Stanton. Who'd we get? Well, you got J.D. Martinez. You got Josh Donaldson.
Well, I would take that in a heartbeat. But if it's just Hosmer in this offseason, that is not going to move the needle.
Correct.
Getting a Kansas City Royal who's not an incredible home run hitter.
How are the Marlins playing this? I know publicly their president of baseball operations. Is anybody a GM anymore that has power? I mean, is that so old school? Because all of the Marlins quotes are from their president of baseball operations. Does he let on at all? I mean, is he the ultimate flirt? Like, hey, Cardinals. Now, if Stanton and his agent have said he's not going to St. Louis. If they've been told that, is that this is kind of like dealing with Kevin Demoff. Is that disingenuous now to sit at the table and listen to what the Cardinals are willing? Because if I'm the Marlins, I might hold back that this guy's not coming, but I want to see who you'll put on the table, who you're willing to offer, and then it circles back, as Derek Gould has pointed out a couple of times. Then they say, well, can we talk to you about Ozuna? Ozuna, do you think maybe Yelich is – what do you think about our reliever?
But because why would they want to give up those two?
Well, you wouldn't.
Because they're affordable and they're great players. See, I think that's
future
like almost
dollars.
Preposterous to suggest. If I'm Miami and I'm so cost conscious and I got two great players at affordable price, I would never even think about moving them.
I need to look at when they're up in terms of getting towards the big dollars, and I don't know that they would move. And how would you like to be a Marlins fan this offseason? Hey, what do we got going at the meetings? Well, we're trying to unload the guy who just hit all these bombs.
Of course, if they're smart, and here's the other really fascinating thing is what you have to give up. I mean, Phil Rogers says it's Reyes, Alcantara, Grichik, and somebody else. And then you got Bob Nightingale who says if you give up three Adirondack bats, you can get them as long as you take the contract. I mean, I can't believe two writers that are so respected have such differing views on how much you have to give up to get them.
I feel like it's got to be, and it's a lame answer, it has to be a little bit in the middle where they do need something in return because they can't turn around and tell their fan base, we unloaded him just to save money.
Well, I think, how about this then? Grichik and, wait a minute, who's the guy that came up last year that wasn't quite as good as we thought?
Flaherty?
Yeah, Grichik and Flaherty, I would do that. I'll drive him to the airport.
We're back to Sports Open Line.
Yeah.
All right, let's give up Mike Ramsey and let's see, Mike LaValier. That was the greatest. Listening to Cam Wex when we were kids, it was almost a nightly thing where people would call in, and the trades could not have been more preposterous.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
Always in the Cardinals' favor.
But I will say this, is on Sunday night after Bob Nightingale got out of the taxi with John Mozeliak, they shared one to the hotel.
I wonder who paid.
Yeah, it had to be Mo. But I did ask him, I go, are you still a believer, Bob, that you have to give up nothing? He goes, absolutely. You have to give up nothing to get him as long as you assume that contract. He says, you got to remember, they left him available.
Well, he was available on waivers.
Yeah,
if you
could have got
to claim
him for nothing then. He says, you don't have to give up anything. So we'll see.
I wonder if anybody regrets that. Putting the claim in then.
Absolutely.
I mean, it is a ton of money, but I want to steal a line from Frank. I don't care if the DeWitt grandchildren have a little. One of these days, you and I are going to be like 70 doing the show, and one of the grandchildren are going to call in and say, I'm a little older now, and I've been listening to you say this for 10 years. My grandpa just denied my new car request because of you.
Hey, let's welcome to the program Dr. Rick Lehman. Dr. Rick, how are you?
How are you?
Very good. You were in India. Tell us why.
That's a good question. Everybody decided, hey, let's go to India, and we went to India and Dubai, and it was kind of interesting, and we're back.
Well, did you have interesting food or visit great sites, or what did you do?
Well, India is unbelievable. The first day we're there, they take you to the Ganges River, and in the Ganges River, it's kind of the holy site for the Hindus, and when you die, you get six family members, they take you, they immerse you in the water for about 10 minutes, and then they build a bonfire and they burn your body outside on the banks of the Ganges River. India has roughly 1.4 billion people, so they burn 5,000 people a day alive on the banks of the Ganges River. And you're just walking around and watching all this go on, and that was day one. It was crazy. It's just a different culture. The food, they don't eat meat, so everything's pretty much vegetarian. And cows are sacred, so they just walk the highways as they want to. You're going 65 miles an hour, and there's two cows in the middle of the road, and, they got the right of way. It's like nothing you've ever seen.
Now, I've heard from family members who've been there, though, that say there's a spirit there, that you can really feel it amongst the people, even though it sounds a bit like chaos and very foreign to all of us. Did you sense that?
There's no question about it. I mean, Hindus are really, really calm, really forgiving, very flexible people. They're just so spiritual. And it is. It's a lot different. And the whole perception, the whole being of these people are different. And there's no question it's just a much more spiritual society. When you're there, you can't help but feel it.
And then he went to Dubai, correct?
Yeah, that was a total opposite. Dubai is, $60 hamburgers, and if your car's dirty, you get $1,100 ticket, and everything is the exact opposite. The roads are perfect. Everything's perfect. It's very, 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 it's Las Vegas on steroids. It's just unbelievable.
Okay, so the only injury that matters to anybody in St. Louis or in the state right now is Michael Porter Jr., and it's also the only injury that nobody knows anything about. I just got this word from a Tiger insider. Day-to-day is the consistent description. He was rubbing his knee. There was a statement about his hip. I don't know what the purpose of just hiding this thing. Like in hockey, you say upper body because you don't want somebody going after a particular part of the body. But, wow, this is quite a mystery.
Yeah, so not to divulge anything that I can't divulge. Kwanzo's not speaking, and I think it's going to turn out to be a knee injury. And I can't really talk a lot about it just because of some things. But I think it's more serious. All I'll say is I think it's more serious than they want to make it out to be. Wasn't on the bench the other night, and I think there's a little bit more going on.
How rare is that an injury precludes somebody from actually being with the team? And I would think if they could have avoided that, they would have, because it led to just so much speculation. I'm sure they would have preferred he just sit there and they say, no big deal, nothing to worry about. That just added to the intrigue. But, I mean, think about the injuries you've covered. And we can even think in baseball, guys are sitting on the bench, football, they're walking, even in crutches on the sideline. I can't think of too many examples where somebody wasn't able to be on the bench.
It's unheard of. It's actually unheard of because, it's more of a team spirit thing. So you want your guy out there, you want your team complete, you want to have kind of that support, and you want to support the injured athlete. So it's kind of a mental thing, and it's an unwritten rule that the athlete is on the sidelines or is on the bench or sitting right behind the bench, etc. In hockey, they go up to the press box. They don't miss the hockey game. And in football, they're on the sidelines. So that is kind of unprecedented, Martin. You're right. And, again, I think that was a bad choice because I do think he probably should have shown team support and at least, like you said, shown everybody was still alive. So that was weird. And I think that does portend a little poorly for his prognosis. That worries me a little bit.
But I will say this, if I have some type of leg issue and I'm 6'10" and you have a completely empty locker room, I think I'd be a little bit more comfortable in that locker room than being sandwiched next to Jonte Porter, who's 6'11", and Jeremiah Tillman, who's 6'10", on the bench.
Yeah, that's correct. But still, that's what you always see. Or you have them sit at the end of the bench or in a chair.
Yeah.
Or in the row behind on the end. You're just not a no-show. And I don't think this was a – I think this – has something to do with what's going on, the injury. I don't think this is, hey, I'm just going to be an idiot and not let the guy go out there. I think this is not that.
All right, before we let you go, I saw an ad in a newspaper for your lovely wife's skin products. And I saw your wife the other day. She's probably in her 40s, but she's got skin like she's in her 20s. This skin product must be working. Is
it? Her skin products, and I will tell you, are amazing, and I'm not into skin products. I mean, being a sports guy, but you see a substantial difference in people that use these skin products, and as opposed to something you'd buy at Neiman Marcus or Saks or somewhere like that, these have the highest effectiveness in terms of percentages, and they're medical versus something you would buy at a grocery store or a supermarket or a department store or a Neiman or even a skincare store, she's a plastic surgeon. So these products are truly of that quality. So they're the highest quality that you can buy in skin products. And actually, I need to get on her skin products because I don't look so good.
And Dr. Rick sends these stories over to us, Frank, and I never know if they're for the audience benefit or if it's some sort of hint to us.
Yes.
And it's like belly fat can actually be quite, not deadly, maybe the strong word, because we think of it cosmetically, like, hey, we want to look better. We don't want to have a belly hanging over, a gut. But there's actually a lot of medicine related. Are these preventative texts that you're sending to me and Frank?
Well, you know, the truth of the matter is that the belly fat that you don't see, the stuff that makes your stomach hard, called mesenteric fat, actually strangulates the blood vessels, and that kind of fat is really bad for you. So it's worthwhile losing that kind of fat. Now, the cosmetic fat, you know, you don't like because you don't have a six-pack, you don't even have a two-pack. It just looks like, you know, you're fat. And that's, none of us like that. So we're more interested in what we can see and what we look like in clothes. But in terms of your health, this mesenteric fat or intra-abdominal fat is much more important. And I just sent them over because I just thought it was extremely interesting and that that's what people need to be more focused on rather than, hey, I look pretty good in, you know, my shorts.
Well, Martin is down 15 pounds.
Well, that was as of last Thursday. There may have been a little give back after the contest ended.
He came in here and pounded down a chocolate Long
John.
No,
I don't. So I made alterations, Frank. Instead of eating the Long John, I ate a wedge off the end. I've made compromises.
That's a good compromise.
I want to ask Dr. Rick about making a trade when somebody's coming off an injury. So let's just say the Marlins are interested or some other team the Cardinals have a deal with, and it's Alex Reyes who's in there. And he's coming off Tommy John. As somebody who's worked and been an owner with teams, what's the level of inspection that you get as the buyer? Is it just looking at medical records? Are you poking around? I mean, how does that play out at the professional level?
Well, two things happen. One is when I owned the Panthers and I was a team doctor for the three or four NHL teams, I would always have the athlete fly in. And actually, one time I was in Europe and they flew an athlete all the way to Europe just to have him evaluated prior to a trade. Because I think that's the most important thing. Because then you can tell how the rehab's going, et cetera. And then when you look at the medical records, you see the severity of an injury. So if someone has a TJ, Tommy John surgery, you know, that's an operation that historically does very well. The rehab is very good. People do very well. And then based on that, you know, you would expect the athlete to be doing well. So in an Alex Reyes case, if I were trading for him, I would have my team doctor look at him, make sure that he had full range of motion. His rehab was on target. His elbow wasn't lax. He didn't have any swelling. He didn't have any grinding, blah, 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 all the doctor things. And I'd look at the medical records, and I'd make sure that it was kind of a standard thing. There wasn't an arthritic problem in the elbow. There wasn't something else that we know would mitigate his ability to come back. There was no nerve damage, i.e. Todd Worrell. So I think you just check off all the boxes, and then you know you're making a pretty good trade. If the teams that see these kids sight unseen and that happens, then what happens is they scream, oh, damaged goods, and I got taken on this trade. And it's just the team's fault for not doing their due diligence. So you got to have the athlete come in.
Good stuff. Dr. Rick, we appreciate your time. Welcome back to the United States. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
You know, I had a friend that lived in Dubai.
Really?
And he said that it, in terms of the wealth, it's unbelievable, but also the government's strict behavior. So he did a radio interview with us, and I asked him all these questions about what about this, what about that, and he gets really vague. And then later he sent me an email, and he said they sometimes monitor what's being said about them, so I really didn't want to get too specific.
Wow.
And this is the same country during some hard economic times like the last couple of years. It's a crime to go bankrupt or to go into debt or severe debt. So people that had like Mercedes and they owed money but they couldn't pay it, they would just abandon them at the airport. And they said it was becoming a big problem in Dubai. There were all these Mercedes that were abandoned because nobody wanted responsibility for the car. They didn't want to have to admit that they owed on the car. They would leave the country.
Wow.
Just insane. And he said Vegas on steroids, and that's how it's been described. People like Tiger Woods get paid $1 million to go play a round of golf. And our next remote, maybe.
Yeah.
Gardner, can you do a sight check? Dubai, we're thinking
the
next
airport.
Friday.
We'll pick up some Benzes there at a good price. Good call. All right, before we go to break, quick word about the Bomarito Automotive family. They don't sell Benzes. They sell almost every other car. 20 pre-owned car locations, 10 used car locations. They sell more cars than anybody in the state of Missouri, and they've done it for 9 straight years. Frank Bomarito, he's founded the company, started off as a car washer. John Bomarito has made it a dynasty. We'll take a short time out. A little bit later in the program, we're going to talk to someone who is heavily involved in the Backstoppers situation, Kimberly Kowalski. She has a great story to tell. We'll be right back.